Before we would open God's word this morning, let's bow to him in prayer. Father God in heaven, we bow before thee in this morning. In the stillness and the quietness of this thine house of worship, where we are very thankful to thee that we are able to be gathered, dear Father, to focus on thee in this day, to dedicate this day unto thy service, unto thy care, and to thy keeping, dear Father. We pray that thy word would go forth in this day in truth, in simplicity, and in power, that thou would convict the hearts of each and every one of us, that we would draw closer unto thee and seek how we might please thee more and more each and every day of our lives as we need thy help. This we do all pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. With God's help for this morning hour's reading, I desire for us to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, the first 21 verses. Ephesians 5, first 21 verses.
Najednou dnes pročita iz Efesima poslanica 5. glava. Efesima 5. glava, prvi 21 brojeva.
Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In the prayer, God's word truly is a mirror. We look into God's word to see how we should live our lives. Our lives must always be consistent with the word of God, with its teachings. And this chapter is a very good example of that. There are many examples here, many verses that are very practical, that we can apply directly to our lives, that we live more closely as Jesus Christ, live according to his example. However, in this morning, I'd like for us to focus on verses 8 to 14, where it speaks very much of darkness and light. And there's a contrast between darkness and light, both physically that we see around us in the world and spiritually. We must understand what these differences are. In verse 14, it says, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. What is this light? Or more specifically, who is this light? Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If we walk according to Jesus' will, if we serve him, we will walk in light. And it says, Christ shall give thee light. What is Christ giving us? He is giving us himself. There's nothing better that Christ can give us other than himself. There'll be nothing lacking in our spiritual walk with him if he continually gives us himself. There's nothing that we can supply of our own power, of our own strength, that would make us more victorious than Jesus. And he is willingly giving us that. He is letting us walk in his light if we would but remain true and faithful unto him and desire that light above anything else this world has to offer. In another place, Jesus tells his disciples, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus, we know, is no longer with us bodily. He has gone home to his rightful place on the throne. But we trust that he is here with us in spirit. He is with us every time we gather in his house, every time we look into his word to see what his will is. We trust that he is here with us. But he is no longer with us in the body. And because of that, he tells us that we, as Christians, are to be the light. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, where the Sermon on the Mount begins, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This must be the goal every time we think of him, that we would be that light, that we would shine forth, that others would see our good works and glorify God. The glory should not ever be for ourselves. We should never be pointing others to ourselves for our own sake, but is to give God the glory, that others would desire to repent and live for him as well. And there are consequences if we do not shine that light forth. God's word tells us, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine forth unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the consequence in verses 3 and 4. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to those who need it the most. If, for whatever reason, we do not let that light shine forth, be it because of embarrassment, whatever the case may be, if we cannot say no to an invitation to a place that we know we should not be, if we cannot look different, act different, speak differently than this world, our light is not shining forth. And as a consequence, those who need it the most are not receiving that truth. We are essentially not that city on a hill. We are willingly taking our light and covering it with a basket. We are ashamed of it. And if we are ashamed of his light, the light that he does give us, if we do not pronounce him, do not claim him on this earth, then we know that at the end of our lives that he will tell us, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's a very scary thought, but it is one that is true. We will truly hear that if we deny him, if we do not let that light shine forth. So we know that the light is him. Literally, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we are called to be that light as well. But the contrast between light and darkness still exists. So what is darkness? Physically, in the world around us, we learn in a high school or university physics class that darkness is simply the absence of light. Darkness of itself is nothing other than the absence of light. When light proceeds forth, darkness disappears completely. There can be no darkness where there is light. It is not possible for them to coexist. And we see evidence of that in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Where it speaks of Jesus being the Word of God. It says, in him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In my Bible at home, the word comprehended has a note next to it, and it says apprehended. And that matches the original Greek. Apprehended means to grasp, to be victorious over. When light shines in darkness, the darkness cannot apprehend it. It cannot be victorious over the light. Again, it's not possible for them to coexist. And in this chapter, in John 1, it continues, and it talks about how Jesus is that true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This light that was shining forth here in John chapter 1 is the light that is still with us today, if we do desire it. If we desire his will, his ways, to draw closer unto him. So we must not walk in darkness, but we must walk in light. So what does it mean to walk in light, in the light of Jesus? The answer to that is found in 1 John, the book of 1 John. The first chapter, verse 5, says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Again, it cannot be. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So walking in the light here is having fellowship with him, being united with him, having his will, his desire implanted in us, that we would never seek to do our own will, but only the will of him that has sent us on this earth for one purpose, to serve him. That is the only reason we are here. Many men, philosophers, question the meaning of life. Why are we here? We are here created in the image of God for one purpose, to serve him, to do his will. In the next chapter, 1 John chapter 2, it says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. That is truly what being in darkness means, to be blinded and to not understand what God is seeking of us. We willingly do that to ourselves. We blindfold ourselves when we want to serve ourselves, when we want to do our will, and again, not the will of him that sent us. But we have a hope. We do not have to walk in this darkness forever. We did not sin the first time willingly. It just happened. No one taught us how to lie. That is something that is mentioned often. But that doesn't mean that we are stuck in that state. Jesus Christ came in this world to be the light of this world, to show us that there is a different way, a different path in which we are able to walk. And back to the Ephesians chapter 5 that we have read, it is such a beautiful chapter that speaks of these truths. In verse 12, it says, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Are we ashamed at the things that we do in secret? Would we be ashamed if everyone in this room knew our thoughts, knew the things that we desire more than anything else? Would we be ashamed? There's a lot of talk in this day and age of internet privacy. What can people see? Can they see the sites that we go to? Can they see the people we talk to? Are we ashamed of any of those things? Do we have anything to hide? If we are ashamed before one another, how are we not ashamed before God, who knows everything about us? He knows how many hairs are on our heads. He knows exactly what we are in need of. He knows exactly where we fail. Why would we not be ashamed of him knowing those things? Brothers and sisters, if we are in the light of Jesus Christ and letting his light shine forth in our hearts, there's nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed of. We are as an open book. Our lives are as an open book before him. He sees everything. And a question that many people who are unbelievers ask, I know we've all heard it at some point or another. Unbelievers ask, how can there be a God? How can there be a God of love if there is a hell? Those do not go together. And many people justify their own unbelief, their own lack of faith, by saying that there cannot be a God who created hell. It can't be. But the scripture answers that for us as well. Again, back to the Gospel of John. Chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." This is echoing Ephesians chapter 5 that we have read, that all things are made manifest by the light. Everything about us will be understood, will be seen when the light of Jesus Christ shines forth on our deeds. And because of this, there is condemnation. There is judgment. There is judgment when we prefer darkness rather than light. And we would think to ourselves, how can we prefer darkness? But that is what we do when we desire our own will, to seek the things that we want for our flesh, to please our flesh. What we are essentially doing is choosing darkness over light. And therein lies the condemnation. That is why there is a hell. Because God has sent forth his only begotten Son into this world to be the light of this world. And if we willingly choose darkness over light, that we are willingly choosing hell over heaven. At the day of judgment, we often think, how can God send people to hell? Well, he is only giving us what we desire. If we desire light while we are in this life, we desire his light to shine upon us, then he will give us what we seek. We will be with him forever. Revelation, towards the end of the book, it says that there is no need for the sun in heaven. For the Lamb of God is the light. His light will shine forth, and we will be with him forever. There will be no need for the sun. The sun that was created, that we see around us, is temporary. There will be no need for it later, because we will be with him forever, and he will be shining forth. And that is what hell is. It is the complete opposite. It is darkness. It is, again, the absence of light. Perhaps the most scary thought of hell is that Christ will not be there. It would be an eternity without him. It would be an eternity of darkness without him shining forth, with no hope of a light ever coming, because the light already came into this world in the form of Jesus Christ. And if we choose to reject that light, then God will simply give us what we prefer. He will give us darkness forever, the absence of his Son. In Ephesians chapter 5 that we read, it says, "Whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Jesus Christ is that light that makes manifest everything that is about us. Every thought, every will of ours is made manifest by him. The word is a mirror. We look into it to see how we should live. But it's also a sword. The Bible speaks of God's word as being a sword that divides. It divides us. That we'd have to choose what we desire. Do we desire to serve our flesh, or do we desire to serve him? If there's anything that we love more than him, we will be cast into outer darkness. That is what the Bible describes hell as, outer darkness. There could be no more accurate description of hell than that, outer darkness, without him forever. So how do we get out of this darkness? Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one unto another in the fear of God. That is how we escape this darkness. That is how we can live and walk in the light of Jesus Christ. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I believe that we have all seen at one time or another someone who is filled with an excess of wine or alcohol of some sort. They no longer have control over their bodies. They no longer have control over their thoughts. And that is what we are when we serve the devil. He is using us basically as a puppet on a string. He's leading us wherever we would to do whatever he would want. But it says, don't do that, but be filled with the Spirit instead. When we are filled with the Spirit of God, then we will walk in the light. And we will speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we will sing and we will make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And we will always give thanks unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will direct us. He will direct our thoughts, our paths, that we would walk according to his will and not be drunken with the wine of this world and walk and trip and stumble over ourselves in the darkness of this world, the darkness that Satan does offer us. We know a beautiful example of the light shining forth was Apostle Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. It says a great unearthly light shone forth and he fell and he was blinded by the light. For a period of time he was blinded, he could not see. And Jesus told him, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That is true. For us to continually hear the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to hear that we must walk in the light and to continually reject it, it is hard. It is much harder to reject it than it is to accept it. That is a truth that all of us who have been born again can testify of. If you're unconverted, if you are walking in darkness, you might think it is hard. It is hard to submit yourself to this light, to walk according to this light, but it is not. We can testify. It is much more difficult. It is much more difficult to deny this calling because he gives us everything that we are in need of. If we take but one small step toward him, he takes many more steps unto us. He does the work if and only if we have the will to serve him. If we do not have the will to serve him, he will not give us that help and that strength that we are in need of. But he promises, if we just have that a small smidgen of faith as a mustard seed, then we can move mountains. We can move mountains in our lives that we never thought were movable. The mountains that the devil places before us, we can move simply and easily if we let Jesus fight the battle. If we let him fight the battle and not ourselves, if we look to him for strength and for help, then that light of Jesus Christ will shine forth and will give us all the strength that we are in need of. And when we submit to him, when we submit to that light, then everything becomes easy. Everything falls into place. We no longer have to think to ourselves that I will be better in this one thing, and then the next day I'll be better in another thing. I will no longer say bad words. I will no longer think bad thoughts. I'll cross that off the checklist. No. When we serve him and we submit to him, and his light shines forth and makes manifest our desires, everything falls into place altogether. Then we will submit ourselves one unto another in the fear of God. Wives will submit unto their husbands. Husbands will submit unto their wives and to love their wives and to give themselves for each other. This all falls into place if and only if we desire that light, the light of this world. May we never desire to walk in darkness, to stumble, to trip and to fall, for that will be the end of us. There is no hope for us if we continually desire that darkness. But let us look to the light of Jesus Christ, that we desire to be with him forever in heaven above. That is our goal. That must be our desire. It is our prayer as a church that all those in this place and all those in the world who did not yet know him, that you would accept this call. You do not have to walk in darkness forever. There is a path through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray that you would accept this call while there is yet time. Do not put this off for another day, for there may not be another day. Is a cliche saying, but we all know it is true. We could be gone from this world today. Don't reject this call. Walk in the light. Walk in the light that you would not live for yourselves. May God bless his word in our hearts in this morning hour. Amen.
There once the a plea went out to you
who are outside of Christ, from really the church that you gather with. And even in the prayer was mentioned that the world is pressuring you to conform to it, to give yourself over unto the world, which is darkness, which we have read and spoken and heard spoken of so much. It's darkness. There's no light there. There's no way there. The end is death. And so, as you consider what the Apostle Paul is writing, he says, be a follower of Jesus Christ. Be an imitator of him. We know, brothers and sisters, as fathers, our children will often imitate us. And so we want to be careful the things that we say and do in front of them so that they don't learn from us. That's how we are to be imitators of God. God is shown to us through the life of Jesus. He says Jesus came so that he might show the will of the Father in his life. And now, imitate that. Be a follower of that. So you, my dear friends, look unto Jesus. The world is going to conform you into that which will lead you straight to hell, eternal damnation, perdition, which is destruction. But God is patient. He's waiting. Just like he was with Judah. Judas is called the son of perdition, as well as Satan himself, of destruction. But God waited. Jesus was patient even with Judas, giving him room for repentance. You are being given that room today. Today. You will accept it and walk in love. Look at what it talks about here. To stay away from filthiness, foolish jesting, talking. Those things aren't convenient, but rather giving of thanks. That is the antidote. That is the antidote. When we are thankful, brothers and sisters and dear friends, when we are thankful, we do not do the things of the works of darkness. And just in closing, I'd like to just go over again the impact of what was spoken of what wine does. How we live under that control. When we take an excess of wine, we are under its control. We are being told, be filled with the Spirit. Live under the control of the Spirit. All of that stuff will go away. You will conform unto the image of Jesus Christ and not to the world. And in Jesus Christ is life and light and peace with God. May he bless his word upon our hearts in this day. Amen.